up to you and me to shine a guiding light and lead the way. United by our cause, we have the power to pursue what we believe. We'll achieve the realization of our dreams.
Hello once again, Vaughan Bennison with this edition of New Horizons. Ahead of some interesting news from Blind Citizens Australia, we hear from one of our new board members, James Manders. James, welcome to the program.
Thanks very much.
First of all, who are you?
I often ask myself that question too. I am 44 years of age. I am originally from Melbourne. We now live in Canberra, but it wasn't a direct route from Melbourne to Canberra. We went overseas, or I headed overseas when I was 27 to work in London in I guess the financial markets, and that sort of took me on a journey from London to work for several firms, and had an opportunity to head to the US to again work in a very large US investment bank, which was a wonderful experience and a great environment. And again, the opportunity to live in the US is very interesting. In London, I worked for Robert Fleming's and Bear Stearns, two sort of very individual, proud investment banks. And then in Boston, with Bear Stearns, then joined Deutsche in New York, with a view of heading out to Asia, because of family do, you know, you want to be close to family, and we felt that Asia was sort of closer to our family with young kids. So Hong Kong, and then Hong Kong for nearly 8 years, in which we, when I worked for then a Japanese investment bank, Nomura, again, a very different experience during the 2008 GFC, which is... I could tell lots of war stories about that. Then we decided to make the move back as a family at the end of 2015. You know, we felt that clean living Australia compared to Hong Kong was, there was no comparison, even though the lifestyle is very exciting in Hong Kong. So we came back, bought a dog. We had a house here in Canberra, and My wife, Leonie, had two sisters that live here, so it was just a good reason to come back here. We felt that Canberra had good support services for me.
It's a nice part of the country. Tell us about your vision impairment story.
Sure. So I was diagnosed at the age of 14 with retinitis pigmentosa, and I was also had a hearing impairment, which I was born with, which was a nerve deafness. So it's sort of the penny dropped. When I was 14, and they realised that, yes, it's Usher syndrome. We were born with a hearing impairment and developed that the RP condition later in life. And fortunately for me, it was a slow burn. It was a slow degeneration. So I was, you know, then sort of sat down, okay, what do I want to do? So I had to learn to – I was very sports-focused. Used to do a lot of tennis, cricket, and footy, and all that stuff. And so I had to sort of start using the brain in terms of, okay, it's something I need to rely on later on. And that really sort of pushed me to do a number of things. One was to take up probably one of my top passions of rugby, because I didn't have to see the ball too much and do sort of that there. And then two was to focus on work and, I guess, try to study and things like that. It's something that I've obviously carried through. It's always been in the back of my mind, and every employer that I've worked with, I hid it from, because I've been working in, I guess, high stress environments, you know, investment banks, competition. It's very much about dependency, and they want to minimize risks as much as possible. So I felt that I had to keep it quiet, and you know, it's sort of, I've had to deal with it later in life in terms of the whole mobility and what have you. So now I'm down to about 25% vision. It's obviously the night blindness has an effect. I have contrast issues. But really, you know, I guess in the last year I've sort of been retraining the mobility, the accessibility, being very honest in the conversation earlier on with people. And I guess 9.5 or 9.9 out of 10 people are fantastic. But I do see, having come from the corporate sector, there is definitely a risk-averse, false perception, I guess, attitude, which I still come up against, and I'm determined to try and change that.
I'm interested that that you say that initially you tried to hide it from people. What was their reaction when they actually found out?
It was very subtle, and people were gentle. You know, they were sort of classes. I would just simply say, you know, I can't see very well at night. Can I grab your shoulder to put the hand on the shoulder or something like that? Or, you know, because, again, a lot of my work was dependent on, you know, client entertainment. Clients were fantastic. But what I found, I guess, more stressful was that the employers, the line managers, or even the in the corporate functions, HR, I think that they would take a very, I guess, myopic view of it and look at, say, okay, what is, do risk assessments. And I only found that after the fact with one of my employers, and I was quite shocked, because for them to do that and not, because they were worried about my impact on clients, you know, should I trip up a client, what's our risk, what's our, you know, and every client was fantastic. Every person I worked with was great. But when you put people's responsibilities on the line and that they have themselves liabilities to manage or risk to manage, you get a different attitude.
It's interesting, isn't it? I've always been the sort of person who doesn't tell anybody unless I need to. I think there's a lot of people in that camp, but it's one of those, it's almost a polarizing question, isn't it, to disclose or not to disclose. And, you know, with the employment of people who are blind or vision impaired being as low as it is currently, it's not surprising that people choose not to disclose. But do you think that you've lost any job opportunities or any career opportunities as a result of your vision impairment?
The honest answer is because I was working in a very strong, forceful, determined environment, yes, because when you're, I was in, I guess, what you call frontline positions, so looking after sales teams or, you know, talking to clients, and you're effectively the spokesman, the proponent of what you're trying to do. I always let my business knowledge and experience sort of speak for itself, and that was always the key thing, as it should be, right? But when again it came down to between myself and someone who had, I guess, normal vision, I got a sense, quite a strong sense, that I was ruled out because of the vision issue. And it's only in the last year that I've started to use it. You know, I stand out there now loud and proud with a white cane. And it's a huge sense of relief to do that. But working on trading floors and things like that, where time is money, if you screw things up, you can lose a lot of money. So therefore, it's people go into what's called a vanilla or default mindset, so that it's just too hard for that person to deal with. So the unconscious bias is a huge, is a large factor in that, and I'm now want to reverse that.
Well, that's a good segue into my next question, which is around your joining the Blind Citizens Australia board. You joined recently. What were your reasons for joining?
Well, number of reasons. So one thing that I have been able to do since, I guess, leaving the investment bank, is I've tried a hand in a few sort of startup businesses and things like that. But one thing that I felt that the skills have carried through is in the corporate governance area. So when I came back to Australia, I've done a number of things. One is to corporate governance in the, what I call the hedge fund sector or the alternative investment sector. There, you know, for various reasons, I can do that from Australia. So I understand the business models. So therefore now I want to increase that to domestic profile in Australia, and to join an organization like BCA with a tremendous history and accomplishments in terms of advocating systemic and individual advocacy, I feel I can add a lot. And, you know, it fully supportive of John Simpson's and now the new EO Emma Benison, in implementing the strategic plan to really rebuild BCA to its core strength of representing individuals in Australia. And I'd like to see BCA represent every individual person with vision impairment or blindness as a member. Not just we do it anyway, but just say, okay, let's have everyone sign up, get involved. You know, that's what President Obama says. You know, if you don't like it, get involved. Mm. And I think that's one way we can start to. You know, we shouldn't use change in a general sense, but start to, you know, direct the conversation in a more positive, constructive way.
And that's one of the things that Emma's been going on about for the last couple of years, ever since she took the role of president in 2015, is that, you know, let's get up there, let's join the organisation and start being part of the story instead of just letting the story be part of you.
Correct. You know, we have to take... we get back to disability employment, and one way I think that's so critical is we look at the leaders who are out there in our space. And you obviously got Graham Innes and Tony Starkey and Andrew Moffat and all those people, all who, you know, can come from a consumer or an individual lived experience perspective, as well as Emma and yourself, Vaughan. So we now need to continue to create leaders in the next generation.
Mm. Well, James, it sounds like you've got a lot of busy time ahead of you on the board of Blind Citizens Australia, and I wish you luck with it.
Thanks very much. I'm very much looking forward to it.
James Manders, one of the newest members of the board of Blind Citizens Australia. In case you've forgotten, there has been some moving around on the board with Barry Chapman and Emma Bennison leaving the board, Barry to follow up with his duties on the board of Blind Citizens New South Wales, and Emma to become the executive officer of Blind Citizens Australia. It has left some vacancies. James is one of those appointees. Fiona Woods and Prue Watts are the other two, and we hope to talk to them in the coming weeks. Now, as you're aware, this is a convention year, or at least a national convention year, the convention to be held in October in Melbourne. Blind Citizens Australia is hunting for people to be involved in the setting of the program for the convention, and also logistics. If you'd like to know more about that, have a look at the BCA website. There's a notice published there. Of course, if you're on the BCAL mailing list, you'll have received that already, and otherwise you can get in touch with the office if you're particularly keen to be involved in setting the program for the convention, or in assisting with the logistics, that's organising the catering, the entertainment, the dinner, etc. As I said, have a look at the website or get in touch with the office if you'd like to know more about that. The convention happening in mid-October in Melbourne. Next week, we'll be hearing about an interesting podcast, so you won't want to miss that one. I'm Vaughan Bennison. Do take care. I'll talk to you again next week.
We'll achieve the realization of our dreams, of our dreams.